These Mets fans are loving Kyle Schwarber right now.
Oh, he did it. That and one is center field second deck.
And he knows he has the 30-second bonus, so he's going to take his time here, try to hit one more. He doesn't even need it.
Stay fair. That's fair. That's gone. Schwarber, 21 to advance.
Hey, what's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 105 of Locked On Cubs. I'm Ryan Davis, and that is Sean Sears joining me. We are Cubs and, in general, baseball writers, and we're bringing you the Locked On Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. How's it going, Sean?
Doing good, doing good. We had an exciting home run derby to watch yesterday that included Kyle Schwarber putting on a show.
Yeah, we'll get into Schwarber a little more deep, but the home run derby, we'll recap that a little bit, look ahead to the All-Star game, talk a little bit about Schwarber and a dumb conspiracy that's out there about the finale. We'll take a question from a fan, and then we'll look back in our final segment on our favorite moments or storylines from the first half. So home run derby last night, both Schwarber and Baez did well in the first round. I think Schwarber hit 16, Baez hit 16. Schwarber just made it out, and Baez got knocked out by, Max Muncy?
Yeah, Max Muncy pulled like 17 or 18 home runs into right field.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously Javi didn't make it out, which was too bad. But just in general, going into it, I was kind of like, yeah, please put on a better show than Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo did 2 years ago. And after that first round, I felt a lot better. Like I was like, okay, at least one of them's moving on. They both hit some home runs. They didn't embarrass themselves. This is good.
Right. Yeah, that's how I felt too. Especially because, I mean, Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo put up a collective with like four home runs, I think, or something like that in Cincinnati in 2016. So yeah, this was a lot better of a showing, particularly from Schwarber's case, who of course went all the way to the final.
Yeah, and that was exciting as well. There were a whole bunch of Schwarber's home runs that like, or not home runs, but hits that banged off the wall, and that was like really frustrating to watch. So I feel like there was three in a row at one point where he just like knocked it right off, high off the wall. It's like, oh, come on. But yeah, no, that was a lot of fun, and I feel like the home run derby is, and maybe I made this comparison on here before, but the home run derby to me is a lot like the slam dunk contest in the NBA, where it got really stale at one point, but now it's kind of back, and I'm very much enjoying it.
Yeah, I am too, actually, because I mean, like, I honestly don't remember much of the home run derbies outside of, like, I mean, I remember the one in New Yankee Stadium where Josh Hamilton just went off and exploded and hit the one out of the park. But beyond that, I don't really remember it. Like, they were showing highlights from Johannes Cespedes when he was on the A's, winning a home run derby in Mets Park. I think it was Citi Field at that point. I don't remember that. I don't remember another like walk-off win from Albert Pujols, but I remember this one. Like, I'm definitely going to remember this one. This one was a ton of fun.
Yeah, and I feel like the format matters too, because you had the Bobby Abreu thing, which was really exciting, where you hit like 63 home runs or something like that. But you also had the format where it was what, like 10 outs or something like that, to, you know, 10 non-home runs and you're out. And I feel like that that created for less exciting when a guy didn't get going right away, and then it created for kind of dragging on and tiring a guy out early if he, you know, went on a streak where he hit a whole bunch of home runs without creating an out, like Harper. If he had been able to keep going yesterday after that streak where he hit like nine in a row, you know, he probably would have tired himself out, you know, if he had done that earlier, let's say. So I feel like that was part of it. As Schwarber said on Twitter, he kind of ran out of gas. But we can talk a little bit about the rest of that as we go forward. But I really enjoyed watching that.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. I think, like you said, like the new format, I think it's meant just to see a guy hit as many home runs as they can in a certain amount of time, as opposed to taking 15 minutes to get 10 outs and however many home runs you had in between that time, you know, is your score. So it's just, I think there's a little more like gamesmanship to it. I think that it's just a little more competitive. You don't have guys that can hit 40 home runs in the first round and then hit six in the next two combined. You know, like it's a good steady balance of like home runs across the board. And I think that's what everyone wants.
Yeah. And that's the good point. When it's timed, you basically have to swing. There was a lot of those pitches that I feel like, you know, obviously they laid off because some of them were really bad. But you know, in the old format, you just take everything that wasn't ideal. And now they really have to swing, which I think makes it better.
What did you think before we go here really quick? Javi, in like his second at bats, I think he had like less like 10 seconds. He just like pulled like four home runs out of nowhere. And he just was like the wild swinging Javi Baez. I was like, this is exactly what I wanted to see Javi Baez do.
Yeah, no, I loved that. And we talked a little bit about what we expected from Baez. And I set the over under on swing and miss at 0.5. I don't think he swung and missed at anything, but there were a few that his brother threw. There was like a one specifically that was way outside and Javi swung at it and just got it like off the end of the bat. And there were a few of those where it's like, well, that one's almost like there was one that almost hit him that he pulled foul really hard. So that was a bit wild. His brother was a bit all over the place, as you might expect a Baez pitcher.
I know he was saying that that's funny, Baez pitcher. He was saying that he picked his brother so that if he threw bad pitches he could yell at him and he wouldn't feel bad. So that's really funny.
Well, all right, let's look ahead at the All-Star game. The lineups came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
A couple surprises. Javier Baez is batting first. Wilson Contreras is batting, I guess, ninth. Baez will be followed by Arenado, Goldschmidt, Freddie Freeman, Matt Kemp, Bryce Harper, Nick Markakis, Brandon Crawford, and then Contreras. So I guess Baez at the top of the lineup is a little bit of a surprise, but looking at, you know, the kind of the stats here for everybody, I think I see what Dave Roberts' idea was, because Baez has 18 steals and the next highest on the team is Freddie Freeman with six. So maybe he's just going for speed at the top of the lineup rather than OBP.
Right. That's what I was thinking too, at least. And plus, like, being in the All-Star game, I'm sure Javi will do something exciting if he does get on base. So, you know, at least for the entertainment wise, that makes a lot of sense for me. But yeah, baseball sense, not so much. But yeah, it's got to be steals, or maybe he's open. Javi hits a leadoff home run. I have no idea.
Yeah, that could be it too. If it were me making the lineup, I probably would have put Markakis at the top. But you know, that's nitpicking, I guess. So those guys will be going up against Chris Sale, who's making his third consecutive start for the AL. I don't need to go into the AL lineup because I don't think, you know, everyone cares that much about the American League if they're listening to this podcast. But I feel like Sale is a bad matchup for Javi Baez.
It's an understatement.
Yeah. So, I don't want to dump on him, but I have low expectations for what he's going to do in the All-Star game today.
Yeah, at least, yeah, I mean, because he'll probably get maybe at most two at-bats at most. I don't see, at least if he's facing Sale twice, it'll probably end up with a strikeout.
Yeah, no, I would think he's just going to get slider. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Yeah, Bryant homered off Sale, 2 years ago? So
yes.
There's every opportunity for Baez today. I just don't expect it. I'll be happy if I see something good, though.
Me as well. I'm hoping for the best. I mean, it's just awesome that we have All-Stars as opposed to last year, where it was just Wade Davis, and you're kind of just hoping that he'll get an opportunity. It's awesome that we've got two starters. It's great to see John Lester there as well, even though he's not really participating in the game. He's still at the All-Star game. Like, he went and hugged Schwarber after he hit a couple of his home runs last night. I think it's just cool to see these four guys traveling and, you know, just enjoying the festivities together.
Yeah. And one more thing about the Home Run Derby. I love how all the players get behind each other, even not just the teammates. Like when Baez took that timeout and came off, and it was Schwarber, Francisco Lindor, and Yadi Molina who went over to, like, you know, fan him off and talk to him. My wife was like, is that Yadi or Molina talking to Baez? And it's like, yeah, like, you know, they're friends. Why can't they be friends? And she's like, well, it's just so weird because they're Cubs and Cardinals. They're supposed to hate each other. It's like, no, it's not exactly that. It doesn't exactly work that way in real life.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're all buds. I thought it was, yeah, I love seeing Frankie and Javi together. It's such a funny, funny but like perfect combination of people.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, they're a good duo. They're about as fun as you get for middle infielders.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, let's go to the second segment, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the big finale between Schwarber and Harper, and we'll dig into what has become a little bit of a conspiracy. So in the finale, Schwarber was absolutely awesome. He said that he ran out of gas a little bit at the end, and this is something I alluded to in the first segment, where the new format allows for this, right? Like the guy who bats second just has to outdo the first guy. Mm-hmm. And so Harper didn't have to hit through all of his time in the first two rounds. He basically just had to hit, like, he knew he had to hit 13 home runs in the second round, so he hit 13 home runs and stopped, whereas Schwarber had to swing it out of, you know, every single time. So it's understandable why he lost his momentum a little bit, and then it was really looking good for Kyle. Like, I was almost positive he was going to win until that last minute, and it just felt like Harper was just, every second there was one going out of the ballpark, and I was like, oh no, he's gonna catch him. And then he did, and then he passed him, and oh man, that was kind of heartbreaking. But your thoughts on that final thing? There's a little bit of a conspiracy about Harper and his dad, quote unquote, cheating.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that on Twitter. When it comes to the actual home run derby itself, I thought it was awesome. Even where we lose like that, it was, like you said, it was amazing to watch Bryce Harper just club home runs like every other second, like a ball's just going and flying, and they were going, like, he hit some close to 400 plus feet, like just teeing off. And I mean, like you said, had to make up like 9 home run ground in like less than a minute. It was just like crazy to see, because you get used to the pacing, and you see guys like Jesus Aguilar was like very slow when he first started. And then we see like Rhys Hoskins, who can just seem to crank him out. But yeah, it was just like all of a sudden Bryce Harper went from like kind of like at a 13 home run pace to all of a sudden he's hit 19. It's done. He's winning. Just crazy.
Yeah. And it was a blast to watch those two in the finale. I tweeted this out. I said, I'm really happy that it's Schwarber and Harper, because no matter who wins, I can be okay with it. Like, it's either Schwarber or it's the hometown guy, and it'll be fun to watch him win. So that was a great aspect of it. The thing that people are upset about, and I feel like some Cub fans are complaining about this, and it's nonsense, but some Cub fans are complaining, and really I think the people who are more angry about it are people who bet on the All-Star or on the Home Run Derby, because people bet on this stuff.
Yeah.
And they're saying that in that final minute, Bryce Harper's dad, who was throwing to him, was not waiting for the balls to land to throw the next pitch. And in general, I think that it was more noticeable because it was that final minute and he started cranking them out really quickly. So people started noticing, hey, he's not waiting. But I saw a couple times with Schwarber earlier in the contest where the guy who was throwing to him wasn't waiting. It was maybe not quite as often, but there were at least a few. I saw it happen throughout the contest. I feel like they just let it go because, you know, so long as it's close enough, it's not a big deal. And what, it's just a fan exhibition, essentially. But I see it out there on Twitter, and there's like two sides of it. There's the people who are just kind of complaining about it, and then there's the people who are mocking Cub fans about it.
Yeah, you're always going to get it on both sides, unfortunately. But yeah, I think if we're really going to be pointing the finger at stupid things like this, it's like, you know, you're missing the point of this. This is supposed to be just like a fun, really cool thing. See some of the biggest, strongest hitters go out there and just compete against one another and see if they can hit more home runs than the other guy. And like he said, I think the players had the right mindset cheering each other on. Even like, you know, when Rhys Hoskins and Schwarber were going at it, Rhys was cheering on Schwarber. He's like, come on, man, you got this. And same thing for the way around. Like, you know, it's just good to see these guys get together and play this game and just turn something that's a part of the game into its own game. I mean, that's just super fun. And I think people are kind of taking that and being like, well, they did this wrong or they cheated. It's like, you're missing the point, man. Unless, you know, someone came in with an aluminum bat, like, I feel like, you know, we're really stretching the term of cheating here.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to really measure it that way. The rules are kind of loose. Like, I've never seen an instance where, you know, a guy clearly goes before the umpire puts his hand down and the umpire's like, nope, that one's waved off. Like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's really mostly just like loose boundaries.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way it should be. You know, like, I think a heavy regulated home run derby would probably be the least fun anyone had. So
exactly. Yeah, the points I've made, I'd love to see them put up like big targets and things like that all over the outfield.
So, yeah.
Like, you hit it, you get extra points, that kind of thing. You know, really like make this really wacky and fun. I think there's ways to even improve from here.
Yeah, I agree. Embrace it. Didn't I know they had like a thing where, like, I think Ryan Howard hit it. If you hit this sign, you, like, State Farm had to donate like $50,000 or something like that. That'd be cool, but it'd be even cooler if they just shot hot dogs out of something if they hit this sign. You know what I mean?
Or a blimp comes over and drops hot dogs on the stadium. That would be
exactly. Cool. I feel like they should put us in charge of this. Commissioner of nonsense. That's the role I want for the MLB.
The first move I'm making is after the 13th inning, if a game is still tied, you go to a brief home run derby.
Yeah. It's like penalties, but just home run derby.
This is something I've said before, but I feel like now is the best time to make that case where everyone realized how much fun that was. Think about, like, you know, Cubs and Nationals tied in the 13th inning, and here comes Schwarber to tee off against Bryce Harper again. Who doesn't want to see that?
Yeah. How do you, I mean, I guess when you're negotiating in the offseason, like, how do you value walk-off home run derby wins as opposed to just regular home runs? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I guess the home runs wouldn't count to your stats. Like, none of the stats would count, but
right.
I would think that you'd have to go to a point system like the NHL does with the shootout.
Right.
Where like the team that loses essentially, you know, doesn't necessarily lose, quote unquote, like they get a point because sure. They tied, but so it's essentially a tie for them, but the other team gets the 2 points for the win. That I think that's the only way to do it, and I feel like there's so many traditionalists who'd cringe at the idea of going to a point system instead of standings.
Oh my gosh. But, yes.
You know, I don't think that would happen too often. I'd love to see how many games actually go beyond the 13th inning. It's got to be like one out of every 20 or 30.
Right. I mean, of course, here's the Cubs that have had four of them already, but, you know, who's counting?
Right. All right. Let's move on from that. In our second segment, we've got one question. I feel like we should talk about it for a little bit. This came from Big Cynical Ben on Twitter. He asks, in a vacuum, would dropping Jason Hayward for Bryce Harper be a good move for the Cubs, losing a Gold Glove outfielder for a potential offensive powerhouse? I'm going to let you field this one first, and then I will throw in my answer as well.
I mean, I feel like when you're comparing Bryce Harper and Jason Hayward, the answer should be pretty simple. And whereas, like, clearly Bryce Harper's the better player, so you take him over Jason Hayward. But I think this isn't quite as easy as you think, or as you would think on paper, just because I think what Jason Hayward does bring to this team, especially now that he's contributing on a regular basis offensively, is just, like, he's an offensive catalyst. And not the traditional sense where he's going to go and club a three-run shot. He's more likely to find a hole on the left side of the infield and sneak a ball through and two-run score than he is to hit it out of the park. But he's adding a different level of offensive gameplay that the Cubs haven't seen him yet in a, you know, do as a Cubs player. And then you factor in the defense, the versatility where he can play. I mean, he played center field these last couple games against the Padres, and that helps when you've got a big center field and a guy like Jason Hayward to cover it. You do lose something when you do trade Jason Hayward and put in, you know, Bryce Harper instead. What you get back, I feel like, is a lot of a similar thing that you already have on this Cubs, which is a ton of power and some good on-base percentage guys. But I think when it's all said and done, what's the better championship team? I think it's probably with Bryce Harper. Even though you might be losing something on the defensive end, what you're getting back offensively potentially outweighs what you're getting from Jason Hayward, you know, by maybe double or triple.
Yeah, I go a little bit harder to the extreme on this. I feel like it's a no-brainer that you would absolutely dump Jason Hayward for Bryce Harper in a second. Because even though there's a little bit of a drop-off in defense, you have to look at, you know, going forward, Harper is, what, 25? He's going to be 26 next year, I think. Something like that. Hayward is still relatively young, but he's getting to the point where I feel like his defense is still great, but it has visibly declined a little bit from the first year that he was with the Cubs. And I feel like he's only going to decline from here. I'm not saying he's not still going to be a Gold Glover 2 years from now or 3 years from now, but it's only going to trend downward where Bryce Harper is. He's still very young. Not that he's going to get better, but I feel like the difference between the two over the next, you know, 5 years or 7 years, it's not going to be that extreme defensively. I feel like the difference offensively will be really extreme. You're going to pay a lot more for Bryce Harper, but if you can get that guy, that is, you know, Jason Hayward's potential right now is this season. Great defense, good base running, gets on base, is a catalyst for the offense, is a moderately decent offensive player. That's his ceiling. But Bryce Harper's ceiling, that's 2015 Harper. That's absolutely absurd. One of the best seasons in baseball history. So yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too. I mean, obviously, like, you know, like, if I had to pick one or the other, clearly it's Bryce Harper, and it's almost Bryce Harper every time. I just do think there would be levels that we do lose here with Jason Hayward as opposed to, you know, Bryce Harper. But yeah, weighing the two of them clearly in a vacuum, it's Bryce Harper every time.
Right. All right. Well, thank you again for the question, Big Cynical Ben. Let's go ahead and go to our third segment. We'll talk about some of our favorite moments from the first half. Okay, so I have a top three best moments from the first half. You have your top three. Why don't you give me your first one?
Definitely. I would say my first one, and the one that kind of popped in my head quickly, was that Ian Happ game where he went and made three catches, including the game-winning catch out in the left field, a couple sliding grabs, just flashed leather, and I always forget how fast Ian Happ is. He arguably could be the fastest dude on this team at times. He just really goes, and he covered so much ground that game. I was just really – it felt like a moment that Ian Happ really needed for a season that kind of, you know, has been very bumpy, to say the least.
Right, yeah. I remember watching it and thinking, like, a better left fielder probably makes one or two of those standing up. But it was still remarkable because of the struggle Ian Happ had, especially defensively in center field at times, and making those three catches, it felt like a major confidence boost for him, being able to go out there and still contribute, even though he was, you know, striking out 35% of the time. So I agree with you on that one. That was fun to watch for him. My first one is the comeback against the Braves in the rain. Yes. They were down 10-2 pretty early. They were down 10-3 heading into the bottom of the seventh inning, and then they scored two in the seventh and nine in the eighth to win 14-10.
Yeah, that game, just a classic come from behind, like no chance. You think they have no chance to win. Majority of people leave by the third inning, and then, you know, people put the game on their way back home in the sixth or seventh inning, and it's like, oh my God, they're going to win. Or they're winning right now. Like, what is going on? Yeah, it was just a crazy game.
I talked to more than one person who had tickets and went to that game, and they told me they left super early. And every single one of them was like, and I do not regret missing the comeback.
Yeah, it was a miserable game. Being a former Wrigleyville resident, it was not a fun day.
No. I mean, I've been to a similar game when the Cubs played against the Nationals in the postseason last year. That game, I think Quintana started that one too, where it just missed it the entire game, and it was just an awful day. It was no fun to be at the ballpark, and that was nowhere near as bad as the Braves game. So yeah, I can sympathize.
Yeah. I've been to my fair share of rain games, but I've never seen them win, unfortunately. Usually the rain is a sign of a bad day for me. For my second memory here from the first half, it would have to go with the steal from Holmes from Javi Baez, the one where Wilson Contreras kind of set it up from first, whereas he like faked to go, and the pitcher went over to first to throw, and Baez took off as soon as the pitcher threw to first and stole home with ease. I just thought that was such a – I mean, everyone knows at this point now that Javi is instinctual enough to swipe home. So the Cubs have to get a little more creative. And to get Wilson Contreras, a guy who's not a terrible base runner, but like a pretty, you know, at least like has decent speed, is a threat to go if he gets a good jump. To set this play up so well. I mean, they just baited the team into throwing. I think it was the Pirates that they were facing. I'm trying to remember the team they were after.
I can't recall. I feel like this one was relatively recently, right? I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been the Pirates. Yeah, that sounds right. I was thinking for some reason the Dodgers, but that's probably wrong. So my next one is the Jason Hayward Grand Slam. This is probably the most exciting moment of the season for me. I feel like that was the big moment. It already, like, to the casual observer, maybe didn't know, but I think most of us knew at that point that he was a different offensive player. Right. But that was so improbable. It was against the Phillies. There's a lefty on the mound. Hayward's down two strikes. I think it was maybe a 2-2 count or 3-2 count. And yeah. bases loaded, down two runs in the game, you know, just cranks a grand slam, a no doubt grand slam out to left field or out to right field. And it was just like chills because you didn't believe what you saw. Like, you can't believe that Jason Hayward just hit a walk-off grand slam. Absolutely just a fantastic moment.
Yeah, that was just a game that none of it should have made sense. None of it probably should have happened. I don't think anyone could have guessed that would have happened. As I was watching Jason Hayward go up, I was like, oh man, please just don't pound it right to second base. Like, if you could just somehow put this ball sort of in the air, that's all I'm asking. And when he clubbed that pitch, I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe he just did that.
Yeah, right off the bat, before the camera even moved to the outfield, you knew it was gone because right. of the trajectory and because of how hard he hit it. I mean, it was just absolutely crushed. And there were a lot of pitches where Hayward got a hold of him early in the season, and they, like, maybe went to the deepest part of the park and died at the track. You know, I can specifically remember at least a few where I'm just like, oh, exit velocity over 100, and he hit it 390 feet for an out. Like, that sucks. Something is different for him, and he's not getting better results. So I'm really glad for him that eventually the results came with the changes, because he's been basically from day one, he's been a different hitter than he has the two previous years.
Yeah, I agree. My third and final memory for this first half is just Jason Hayward in general. Particularly, there's one game against the Brewers where he drove in, they went to the 11th inning, and he was able to drive in. He was part of the guys, or part of one of the guys that drove in, I think, three of the five runs that they scored in the 11th to win 7-2 after being down essentially 2-1 all the way to the eighth inning. Drove in three runs in the 11th inning to give the Cubs a 5-2 lead. And then, you know, of course, they ended up winning 7-2. A big game against their team that they now lead in their division by 2.5 games. He's just been fun. He has just been everything that I think we were hoping for. His on-base percentage is very close to what I expected it to be when he first came over. That pop that the Cubs seem to want to tap into or something like that. Of course, the power hasn't really shown, but he's hitting the ball with plenty of authority. And he's just been the guy that I never expected Jason Hayward to turn it around quite like this. I thought he might have stretches where he can be effective. But for him to be a guy that you can consistently count on to maybe get a hit or two in the game and do something important when he needs to is just head and shoulders way better than I've ever seen Jason Hayward as a Cub.
Right. I mean, how did anyone ever think that you would get to a point where Joe Maddon put him number two in the lineup and nobody complained about it?
No. Right.
I mean, is he an ideal number two hitter? No, probably not. But you know, at this point, the way he's been hitting the last couple months, you put him in number two against right ahead of Bryant and Rizzo and Baez and Schwarber and those guys, and you're just like, yeah, that's a good spot. Like, get him there, get him on base. You know, this guy's gonna, you know, slap a single or a double the other way sometimes, and you know, get on base and be a smart base runner. And yeah, he's the Jason Hayward that you hoped to get when you signed him. This is the guy that he was before that, and that's, I think, he's showing why the Cubs had a lot of faith in him. So my last one is just another Javi Baez game. I went just looking for, there are so many great memories. I went just looking for his best game, and I don't specifically remember. I remember the home runs in this one, but it was against the Dodgers on June 26th. They won 9-4. Javi went 4-for-5 with a double, two home runs, and five RBI. I feel like that's the best example of the kind of season that he's having. So although I don't have, like, specific memories of it, and it doesn't, like, you know, flood to me when I say best moments of the season, Javi is probably in general, along with Hayward, one of the biggest storylines for the Cubs in the first half. So got to go with his best game.
Yeah, I think the first half that Javi Baez has had, it's hard to not pick him multiple times. He has been absolutely the highlight of the first half.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. This has been episode 105 of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. That's Sean Sears. I am Ryan Davis. And thank you again for joining me, man.
Yeah, of course, man. It's been fun. I'm liking getting up and talking Cubs in the morning. It's better than a cup of coffee, that's for sure. So
certainly wakes you up.
Yes, definitely.
All right, everybody. Enjoy the All-Star game.